Edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on a hot, humid June afternoon. But I'm, again, it is what it is. If you think it's been hot, just wait. Yeah, this week and into up around the 4th. I mean, but especially this week and this weekend, looks like it's going to be really, really hot. So we held off a day before we're heading down to the beach where Drew was just telling me that he said the heat index is supposed to be around 110 tomorrow.
Oh, how lovely.
Great. That is great. Hey, that's why you go to the beach, isn't it?
This is to have it be hot.
This is a week where people should take the heat seriously if they're outdoors for long periods of time. Stay hydrated. Be aware. I know the National Weather Advisory is putting out things about, the Southeast is going to go through. And I don't know if you've seen some of the numbers in Texas, right?
It's awful out there.
Houston's dealing with a stretch of triple-digit temperature that doesn't seem to be waning anytime soon. So this is serious time heat-wise. So be careful, and it's part of living in the South, but it's also it's something that you need to take seriously and you need to be ready for. Because Bill, I was out moving furniture yesterday for some family. Ooh. So my uncle lives really close to Truist, which I'd been to his house years ago, but. In the
Truist wasn't there then.
Exactly.
Years ago.
In the meantime, they've built the Braves ballpark over there. So that was it was cool to get up there. I saw. How about this for drive of the week, Bill? I've lived in big cities. I've visited other big cities. I feel like I've seen all kinds of driving.
You've been everywhere, man.
I've been everywhere. All right.
Sounds like a tune I've heard before.
Yeah.
Big old jet airliner. The driving I saw on display on the 285 yesterday in Atlanta.
Oh,
I mean I don't know if we've had people suggesting that post COVID or post shutdowns and stuff.
Yep.
The driving has gotten universally worse. The Franklin folks were suggesting a theory about that in the last couple of years. The driving I saw in Atlanta yesterday, Bill, just catastrophically bad. It is. Fast and furious.
You have to be much more aware. I mean, you always need to be aware when you're driving in traffic or driving anywhere. But yeah, I swear you need to pay more attention to the other drivers, I feel like, than I've ever had to before.
On a Sunday morning on the 285, I saw probably about as egregiously unsafe and aggressive driving as I've ever seen. Anyway, and I've driven in other countries too. It's not just in America as aggressive and as unsafe as I've ever seen anywhere. I saw on the 285 in Atlanta yesterday. So it was a bit of a shock. Even as we've discussed it before. So be careful with the heat, and be a little more patient on the road if you can be. Remember that other people are out there too.
Yeah, so that's what I'm in for the next few days. But here today, it's going to be a special show today. We've got a couple of special guests. Always good when Brian Matthews, though, from AuburnSports.com is in. Brian may be a two-timer this week.
Yeah.
Because there is no...
He's cheating on us?
No. there is no drive a week from today. On July 3rd, we won't have a drive. So Brian may be back Friday, and that would be great because I won't be getting back... at least I don't think until late on Friday. So pleased to have Brian here with us on the Monday edition of The Drive, as he usually is. But we got a couple of special guests. And Friday, we spent a good deal of time Friday talking about the sad news that came out when former Auburn assistant, longtime SEC assistant, Terry Price passed away Friday. He'd been at his alma mater, Texas A&M, since 2012.
Nearly 30 consecutive seasons as an assistant.
As an SEC assistant.
In the SEC, yeah. I mean, just an incredible career.
Yeah, he started under Tommy Tuberville at Ole Miss for 4 years, then came to Auburn for 10, back to Ole Miss for a couple of years before he went back to his alma mater, Texas A&M. And, I was thinking about a couple of folks we got. We had a call from someone that said Jimmy Perry, who was on the Auburn staff here and, of course, just retired after winning the state championship at St. James
And had a son who played for Auburn when Terry Price was an assistant coach. Danny was on the team.
Absolutely. But I did not realize some of the things that Jimmy and Terry had in common. They had a really close relationship. And so I had tried to get in touch with Jimmy, and he called me back Saturday morning, and he will be on at around 4:30 today.
Great.
And then the other guy that I thought of, obviously, Don Dunn, who was his defensive line coach. You know, Don was the defensive line coach. Terry was the defensive ends coach. And they were together, Ole Miss to Auburn.
Yep.
And Don called during the show on Friday.
You want to tell Brian how we got in contact with Don?
Oh, this was – well, I thought I'd had either Don or Donna's number. But apparently it's, you know, it's been deleted or lost from my phone. So so Dan said – hey, does he still do the thing over at Country's? And I went, you know, that's a great idea. And I called, and look, credit to the folks at Country's, because they didn't just give me his number. I mean, that's not what you do. You don't just give out other people's numbers. But they called Don to check and go, does this sound legit? This guy named Cameron is trying to get in touch with you. So Don called me, and he's going to be on at 5:15.
Right.
Don said, yeah, every day for 14 years. Yep. They worked beside each other.
They were a great pair. I loved to watch them and be around them and just, you know, spend time with them on and off the field. It was just
hard not to watch those guys. But back in the days when we could watch spring practice and sort of had the free.
Oh yeah.
I mean, not that was, you know, the last couple of years we've had access as well, but in the days when fall practice was very accessible and almost the entirety of it was hard not to watch the defensive linemen. A lot because of the energy, the intensity, and a lot of that was Terry Price and Don Dunn right there. So I'm looking forward to talking to Dunn and the outpouring from all corners of Terry Price's career. Mm-hmm. You know, the outpouring of grief and support and love and everything people have been saying about him. Like it's striking, and it shows you know how important he was to people, because it's A&M folks, it's Auburn folks, it's Ole Miss folks. Former players, you know, from multiple generations now. And McCain shared we told it on Friday. Andrew McCain shared the story on social media that he was recruited to Auburn by Terry Price as a defensive lineman. But then Andrew was an offensive lineman for Tuberville and Chizik. He apparently that wasn't his first interaction with Terry Price, though, because while his mother was pregnant with him, the McCains went to the 86 Cotton Bowl, where Terry Price started for A&M against Auburn. Bill, did you – I was able to go on
and
the next –
shut down Bo Jackson.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remembered the score, sadly. It's like, 36-16 is ingrained.
Yeah.
I was able to talk to the mayor, Gordon Stone.
Yeah, I heard a little of that.
Today, and he
– Gordon was on the team.
That's right. Gordon was at that game in an Auburn uniform, and he was able to tell some stories about facing off against a Texas A&M team that had Terry Price on it. And then years later, Terry Price is an assistant who makes a big impact here. So, yeah, Don Dunn. And when are we talking with Coach?
We're going to talk with Don at 5:15, right. Jimmy at 4:30.
really looking forward to that.
Yeah, so we will do that. I mean, there's plenty to talk about, though. I mean, we can catch you up. College World Series will be decided tonight after the biggest – explosion, the most runs ever scored in a College World Series game last night, but it just evened things up. And LSU is the favorite tonight.
Saturday's game was sensational.
Oh, what a
What a game. Every pitch felt, you know, it felt like the stakes could not be higher, and just played really well by both teams. I was asked for a prediction on the Max Roundtable, and just it feels like as impressive as Florida was yesterday,
they may have needed to save a run or two.
Yeah, well, it feels like there's something about this LSU team, and
is Paul Skeens going to the mound?
I don't know what they're going to do with Skeens tonight.
I think he probably does.
I think he's going to pitch. I don't know how many innings or how many pitches you ask Skeens to give you. He pitched on short rest in his previous start, and now you'd be starting him.
He pitched on 4 days rest last time out,
right. and now you
this would be 3 days rest.
Right. So I could see if maybe. It's an all-hands-on-deck situation for the LSU pitching staff where everybody could be tasked with an inning or two, and that could include Paul Skeens either starting or making – I don't know if they've announced starters for either.
Yeah,
either
I have team, not seen. Have you, Brian? You seen if
Skeens? It's not Skeens. It's okay. Let me see if I can.
So
they,
I'm sure he is. He has let them know that he's available.
You would hope. Well, you would think so. But then again, he's about to become a
millionaire. He's about to become a millionaire.
Yeah, here in a couple of weeks, or a week, or. Yeah. So
we'll that's a debate that's been had before, where it's like, what do you do as a coach of a player who has a huge pro career ahead of him potentially, if it's a situation where injury is more likely to occur, or a situation where he's dealing with an injury, and that's something people have asked about in the past with not necessarily situations exactly like this, but it's a debate out there. So Bill, who you got? You got LSU? You got Florida?
Prop LSU. I mean, I just wonder. I mean, LSU's pitching until yesterday had been just phenomenal. I mean, they've gotten everybody else chipping in, pitching very well. I think we're going to see Paul Skeens tonight. I think we'll see him. I just don't know, when and for how long, but. Florida's feeling really good after yesterday.
And after the season Paul Skeens has had and the talk about him being, one of the great college pitchers of the last few years, it feels like this thing could end with him on the mound, right? Like, and maybe he's not brought in to close, but possibly. I think if he's an option.
Ooh, Riley Cooper's been pretty good closing, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Man.
Riley's been great.
The big lefty.
I mean, maybe it's a couple innings in the middle, depending on. I mean, the longer the game stays close, right?
He's the kind of guy that I'm thinking whenever it's a critical situation and you've got to get an out or so, you might bring him in then and just let him. And if he gets out of that jam, let him go another inning or so to see. He's a guy that you'd put in there to be your stopper. Whenever part in the game.
Six, seven outs,
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What you could get from him, I think so, too. This is an exciting one tonight. I'm going with LSU.
Me, too. 3 for 3.
All right. So
bet on Florida.
Yeah, it sounds like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. We'd love your thoughts. We can also, obviously, today, the SEC releasing the opponents for conference teams in basketball for this coming year. We'll take a look at Auburn's home and away opponents. I mean, you knew some of them because of the regular, rival games that they have. But we'll look at those and we'll talk about our thoughts. Love to get yours as well. We're just getting underway here on the Monday edition of The Drive.
Did you know that electrical fires cause over 51,000 home fires in the U.S.?
02 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews, Drew at the controls, and hour number one of The Drive brought to you as usual by the good folks at Kia of Auburn on South College and kiaofauburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And they're also the sponsor of our hotline. One of the ways you can get through to us, and all you need to do is call 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform. Go to espnau.com, and you can get the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify. We've ironed out some of the issues we were having earlier. If you want to leave a review or a rate, subscribe, all that stuff, it helps us. Again, the podcast all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
All right. I mentioned just before we were getting to break that the Southeastern Conference has announced each team's opponents for the 23-24 season. And Auburn's going to be playing Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Texas A&M, and Vandy at home in Neville Arena. So that means, this is the year where you play Kentucky one time. You've got them at home. You play LSU at one time. It's at home. Of course, Ole Miss this year, Auburn's playing Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Mississippi State are the teams they play
home and away.
Home and away.
Yep.
So the other teams in the conference, they'll play either at home. The teams they play just at home will be Kentucky, LSU, South Carolina, A&M, and Vandy. The teams they're playing on the road will be Arkansas, Florida, Missouri, Tennessee, and Vandy. So how does that strike you, Brian?
Well, I think it's a pretty good schedule. It's good getting Kentucky at home.
That'll
be a great.
Always.
You hope that's on a weekend too. So it'll be a good recruiting weekend possibly. At Arkansas, going to be tough. At Florida, going to be tough. At Vanderbilt, at Tennessee, always going to be tough. It'll be interesting to see the Ole Miss home game with Bo Flanagan's coming home, mm-hmm. right? In year one.
Yeah, the talent that Chris Beard's bringing in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
You knew you were playing Bama twice. That's part of
it. You were playing Bama, Georgia, and Ole Miss twice.
The teams that a lot of people are going to be most bullish on going into the season at the moment looks like Tennessee, Arkansas, to an extent A&M. Like the three best teams in the league. The fact that you only play all three of those teams once, granted, you're going to Arkansas, you're going to
Tennessee,
but you got Texas A&M at home, and you don't play any of those teams more than once. That seems favorable mm-hmm. for Auburn. Granted, you do have the Kentucky game, but I think Kentucky is one of the biggest question marks in major conference basketball going into this season because they're going to rely so heavily on four freshmen, and they've virtually cleared out the roster aside from those guys coming in. Now, they could be active in adding a player between now and the start of the season, but Arkansas and Tennessee look like they're going to be preseason top 10 teams. You have to go to both of those teams, which is sort of the bad news, but they're only on the schedule once, which I think all told makes it a pretty favorable draw for Auburn, considering what it could have been instead.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, if you wanted to make it perfect, you'd play all the tough teams at home. But, no, I think it's pretty balanced. I think there's a lot of excitement about the upcoming basketball season. So, you know, Brian, I mean, now that Auburn added Adoren Scott, I mean, I think they've got a solid two deep plus an extra player or two.
I agree. They've got the roster they absolutely need, and they've got depth everywhere. They've added length. They've added three-point shooting. They've added experience.
Yeah. I mean, they added rebounding. They added three-point shooting. Those were the two biggest areas, I thought, of concern for Auburn this past year.
They added a five-star point guard. You know, that would be something that everybody would be talking about all offseason, mm-hmm. you know, a decade ago. And now it's like, oh, okay, you know, we don't have the great player coming, but – this team has a lot of the things you look for in a team that's going to compete for a championship, and I think they're going to position themselves too. And I got a chance to talk with Jalen Williams this morning on the On to Victory podcast.
Oh, cool.
And he talked about some of the newcomers. He mentioned Cheney Johnson, how athletic and how just what an incredible athlete he is.
Well, you know, he's what a cool story he is. He's a guy that was a guard
yep.
that's grown into a 6'7", you know, big wing.
Yep. And, you know, he's a guy that can hit threes. Chad Baker-Mazzara is going to hit threes. Denver Jones is going to hit a lot of threes, you know. This team just – it seems like Bruce Pearl and his staff really went out there and handled the weaknesses from the last couple of years. And the other thing I thought was mentioned, Jalen mentioned was it's a different vibe with this team. He says everybody's really getting along and, you know, there's a good – feeling amongst the entire team. You know, I don't think there's
chemistry.
A lot of, chemistry is a good word. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good to hear. I mean, man, it's going to seem like forever before basketball season gets here.
Oh no, it's an exciting roster for Auburn. I still wonder about some of the things that the departing players did well and how easily it'll be to replicate Zepp's defense, Alan Flanagan's defense, Wendell Green, I guess the pros and cons of his game, but the pros of, you know, having a point guard who'd played that much college basketball and had been familiar with, you know, key scenarios and what to do and what to attempt. So yeah, I think when you have as much turnover as Auburn has at the guard position, when Auburn's, I mean, KD Johnson is still there, But when you when you're replacing the minutes played by guys like Wendell and Zepp, there's a real sense of mystery of what are you going to get out of the new, and it could be much better. It could be roughly the same, and there could be growing pains early on. What do you think ultimately? I guess my biggest question about this team is ultimately what is the minutes distribution going to look like between Holloway and Donaldson, and how often are they going to play together? And if not, who's going to be playing the lion's share of the minutes there? And what does that rotation look like?
You know, I think that's an interesting question because I could see them having close to the same minutes. I think Aiden Holloway is a special player, and I think he'll probably win the starting job. I don't know that for sure. But I think because Trey is becoming or has become a much better three-point shooter, that he can get a rotation or maybe two at the two.
I think Trey also is just now, last year was the first time he was just a basketball player. Yeah. And now he's had an offseason. Doesn't look quite the same. He looks a little trimmer than he did a year ago. He looked more like a football player playing basketball last year, a really good one. But he looks like he could be even more athletic, and he was pretty darned athletic a year ago. Yeah, I think a lot of it, Dan, may depend on how the other guys are doing at the two. Because you're right, Brian. I mean, we saw that stroke in the tournament, and I mean, man, he looked good shooting the three, and you know he could push for playing time there. But I would imagine Trey's not ready to hand over the starting job yet right now to Aiden. That's a great situation to have with two young guys like that there at the point.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great competition, and I think Auburn's going to be better because of it. And I'm excited to see both of them play. I don't want to, I look at the quarterback competition. I know there's going to be competition, but I feel fairly certain that it's going to be, Peyton Thorn that wins that, right? I don't feel certain about who's going to win this competition. And, maybe it goes into the season before we settle on a guy who's a starter.
Well, it could be going back and forth. So, really, really good situation there with basketball.
We mentioned the game tonight, game three of the College World Series. Thatcher Hurd is going to start for LSU. He's 7-3 with a 5.97 ERA.
Yeah, he's a guy that was their Sunday starter a lot for them and pitched pretty well here in the postseason.
77 strikeouts in 57 innings. So, he when he's on, he can really go through a lineup. It's just a matter of whether or not, he's on tonight.
Gators should be in pretty good shape pitching-wise.
Yes. Yeah, they played the minimum number of games, correct? So they should be on.
Yeah, and I mean, you win a laugher like they did yesterday. They got to, rest most everybody. But who they got going?
As I mentioned on the Max Roundtable, though, Bill, you look at Angels Rockies.
Oh yeah,
right. Was it there was a
just
game.
That's what I said. Maybe they may wish they'd save some of those runs.
It's Cags. It's Joe Caglione for Florida.
Oh, okay, yeah, so, that's a decent guy.
Yeah, and when he's on again, he can dominate really, lineup, really but. He's not always, on. He's very wild, right?
Both those teams can hit mistakes.
Yes.
Brian, there was a series this weekend in Major League Baseball where the Angels just absolutely destroyed the Colorado Rockies on Saturday.
Yes.
It was a
25-1.
25-1 was the final. The Rockies won the series, won the other two games.
It doesn't matter the run scored in the series. It's just you outscore them more times than they outscore you. Yep.
That's why I just got a feeling LSU's going to find a way.
We will see. All right, Coach Jimmy Perry joins us on the other side. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive. Dan, we've got Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we're going to head to the Kia of Auburn hotline and welcome in Coach Jimmy Perry joining us. When we heard the news Friday about Terry Price, just so sadly passing away at the age of 55. We were contacted and said that Jimmy and Terry had a very unique kinship, and pleased to be joined now by Jimmy Perry here on the drive. Jimmy, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Bill. How are y'all doing?
Man, we're doing fine. Doing absolutely fine. It was such tough news to hear about Terry. I mean, just 55. I had not realized. You were telling me a little of the story about the kinship you guys had because of a very unique experience, both of you having a kidney transplant, not just kidney transplants, but done by the same doctor.
That's right. You know, 1997, Terry had his in the summer of 97 when he was at Ole Miss, and I had mine in the winter of 97 when I was the head coach at Robert E. Lee. And then a few years later, you know, we're on the same staff at Auburn, I think in 2000. And, you know, I'd heard about the Ole Miss coach because you got to go back when you have a transplant, you got to go back a bunch and get checked. And they kept telling me, yeah, the Ole Miss coach was just in here the other day and so on and so. And so when I got to Auburn, as fate would have it, his locker was right next to mine. And so we were getting dressed for practice, and the kidney transplant scar is kind of unique. And Terry had his shirt off, and I had my shirt off. And I said, hey, you're the Ole Miss guy. And he goes, hey, you're the high school guy. And so it was just, you know, we shared that experience and the gift of life from, you know, him from his mother and me from my brother. And we, you know, we were basically on the same meds and everything. And he'd say, hey, you got any Neoral or Cyclosporin? I'm running low today. And we'd swap meds and keep each other taken care of. We could make those transplants last for us. But, yeah, it was a shock, Bill. It's, you know, I'd known about a week earlier that he was sick and had to go to the hospital in Houston, but had no idea the severity till it came out that he had passed.
Yeah, now Don Dunn's gonna join us a little later on, and Don had sent me a note that the celebration of Terry's life is coming up on the 8th at Texas A&M. So that's something that, I mean, what as far as those of us that covered Auburn, and Dan and Brian, obviously we were all around. We love those days when we'd be able to go watch practice. I know you guys weren't so thrilled about it being out on the drill field an awful lot, but but in the days when we could go out there, one of the things we were talking about the other day was Dan pointed out that you could always tell where Terry was. That voice, that voice was very distinct and carried very well.
Yeah, he was a big man with a big voice, and he commanded respect from his players, but his players knew that he loved them, you know. Terry and Don both, they would have players over at their house on Thursdays and feed them, you know, because Thursday's a fairly light day, and they'd have the kids over, and they took care of them. And all their players, all Terry's players at Texas A&M, you know, I saw things what they had tweeted about Terry taking care of them. They just really loved Terry Price as a person and a coach. And, you know, Terry, when I got to Auburn, I didn't know anything, didn't know anybody, and heck, I couldn't even cook, and Terry Price and Don Dunn taught me how to cook ribs, and they were just so sweet to me and so good to me, and it just really, really hurt my heart to hear about Terry.
I mean, if you're going to learn to cook ribs from someone, that's yeah. I mean, that's you got a master's degree.
Don's still working on it every day.
Absolutely,
that's right. Well, you know, if you want to shoot good pool, you go play Minnesota Fats and Willie McConaughey. You don't fool around with any locals. And so I went straight to the top with Terry and Don.
Hey, speaking of characters and great folks, today at lunch, I'm in a local establishment, and I turn and I go, Spence McCracken, how are you doing? Spence told me to make sure, Jimmy, that everybody heard that you're the reason that he won all those games and that title. He said you're the best football coach that he'd ever been around, and he wanted me to tell you that today on the air.
Well, Spence is awful sweet, but you know I learned at the foot of the master with him. I mean, he could motivate. You know, anybody to do anything. And I owe Spence McCracken so much for, you know, the things that have happened to me and in football. And I loved coaching with him and loved working for him. And what a great guy. And I'd do anything in the world for Spence McCracken.
Yeah, I remember. I remember back in the day when I was working in Montgomery, and of course
those lead teams were incredible.
Getting to call the Larry Ware, yeah. Spence, Jimmy Perry. I mean that was a fun teams to watch back then. Jimmy, now what are you going to do now? You've retired, but what a great way to go out, win a state title, coach of the year, and now you're retired. So what's on the plate for Jimmy Perry these days?
Well, I'm not real sure. You know, it only took me 43 years to win a state championship, so I didn't figure I had another 43 in me. So I figured it'd be a good time to get out. But I'm just waiting to see what the good Lord brings for me. I still feel good, and my health's good. So right now I'm just enjoying time with my wife, Judy, you know, because football, if you do it the right way, you're gone an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really enjoying this time with my wife.
Well, Coach, we'll take your call, you know, whenever during retirement, if you ever want to call us and talk some football. I had another Terry Price question because we've heard a lot. I mean, I got to see him as a coach when, as Bill was saying, when we had access to the intramural fields and fall practice back in the day, and I have heard stories from other players, you know, from players about about what kind of coach he was. Did you ever get a chance to see him on the recruiting trail? Did you ever get a chance to see him relate to kids? Because I would imagine that some of the warmth that we're hearing about and some of that came through when he was trying to convince players to sign up to play for him.
Well, you know, when you're recruiting, you really don't go out in pairs or anything. But all I can tell you is when I walk down the hall at the football complex, his office was always full of players, the ones he's coaching and the ones, if a kid came up for recruiting, they were in there. He entertained them, but he had a magnetism about him that drew kids to him, and I think that was his secret. You know, Terry was a jokester. The kids like people to joke and cut up with him. Terry would take all the assistant coaches' phones. He'd go by, if somebody left their phone on the desk, he'd set the alarm for like 2 in the morning, wake-up call and stuff. Or to go off during a staff meeting, real important staff meeting, and he had the most infectious laugh. As y'all said, you could hear him on the football field. You could really hear him in the office. He would laugh, and everybody in the hall knew Terry Price was in his office, cutting up with somebody.
Oh, that's great stuff, Coach. We really appreciate you taking a little time and just reminiscing a little bit. It's good to catch up too. Hadn't seen you in a while. I know that. Dan knows Danny.
Yeah,
he's like the same age.
Danny and I were classmates, Coach. And so if you get a chance, tell him Dan Peck says hi, because Danny was a good dude back in the day, and it was great. It's great to talk to you as always. I think we've it may have been at Chuck Furlow's services where we crossed paths as well.
Yeah,
because
I think you're right.
And he was another guy we think about.
Oh, absolutely.
All the time and still miss. But yeah, thanks for making some time for us, Coach.
Anytime. Thank y'all. Appreciate you remembering my friend Terry.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Jimmy. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Coach Jimmy Perry joining us here on the Monday edition of The Drive. Yeah, I remember, I'd known him, and then, of course, he took over for Spence there at Lee. And then Danny, I believe, came to Auburn High as a senior, and he was like a fullback, and Scott was a linebacker. So those, man, that's going back a little while.
And Danny got on the field a little bit as a fullback at Auburn as well. So I mean, he's a
tight end fullback.
Played a little bit as well as working your way up from as a walk on. Yeah, walk on a guy on the field is not easy. Although Auburn in the Tuberville days, it felt like every year there'd be a fullback walk on who'd found his way into quite a bit of playing time. And it's really great to talk to Coach, and I hope folks who remember Terry Price enjoyed that. And if you didn't know all that much about Terry Price, this is a guy who made a big impact in his time as an assistant coach at Auburn and elsewhere in the SEC.
We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Phone lines are open. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 as we continue here on the Monday Drive.
Come in. 211-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. 445, Bill, Dan, Brian, got Drew at the controls. Let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Anthony's up next. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
Pretty good.
How y'all fellas doing? Well, I'm ready for football, man. I'm I'm about sick right now. I'm ready for some football, Bill.
Oh, man. Well, hey, it's getting hot enough where you think, you know, this is about the way it's going to be when the season starts.
Talking to a guy like Jimmy Perry helps, too, when it comes to getting getting excited for football season.
Yeah, Jimmy bring up bad memories of me, though. We had a running back at Opelika named Roger Russell who ran for about 200 yards against I think that game sold McCracken on coming to Opelika. the fan support.
Yep.
And we had Roger Russell. He passed away, man, not long ago.
Oh,
played at Georgia Southern. But he ran for about 200 yards that night against Lee. But then Larry Ware and them, they come back in that fourth quarter and beat Opelika. And I went on and won the state championship. But I'm very familiar. You know, I'm real pretty good with high school.
Oh, yeah.
All around. So everybody tell me I'm in the wrong field, you know. Got a question. What's the hold up? Why is Rashawn Evans not on a roster, man?
I don't
right
know.
Right now. I don't get that, man. The dude had like 100, and, I think close to 160-something tackles last year for Atlanta. And I'm just puzzled because, you know, I'm a good friend with his dad, and I know his mom.
I have not heard any reason why, but you're right. That is, it's very odd. It's not like, it's not like he should be done.
Yeah, I don't know. Right. I mean, aside from teams maybe prioritizing youth and trying to go real cheap rather than signing a veteran who's played, you know, for a while. Like, I don't know what kind of terms Evans is seeking if a team has been after him. He seems like someone that. Closer to the start,
help somebody.
Well, closer to the start of training camp, whether it's an injury, you know, to somebody like somebody's going to need. I feel like his services are going to be required by some team.
I mean, he's only 27, 28.
But linebacker and running backer positions where I know what you mean, but it's no, I don't have a good answer as to why there isn't a bigger market for him.
I mean, I just that's kind of puzzling, you know. A kid never had a bad. Nothing, no bad, nothing. High school, college, in the pros, you know, nothing bad where you see athlete get in trouble or discipline or nothing. But that was one of my questions. Been confusing, though. Got a couple of other Anthony to call in, and one of my buddies said, man, I heard you. I said, no, I ain't called Bill in a while. So I'm going to shout out to Chris and Daryl from Opelika. They'll know who I am now. It's good, man. I've been calling back and forth, Bill, ever since, you know, you and Andy.
Oh, yeah,
We're going to, you know how far this go back, all the way back to the Botchers days. So, good talking to you, man, and happen to get out at the house. Man. Let me put it on the radio. I ain't heard him in a while, the way I work. But that was what I was concerned about. About Rashawn, man.
Yeah, if we hear anything, we'll mention it. I had not heard anything, but that's a good question, Anthony.
Yeah, appreciate it. Great hearing from you.
Yeah, man.
Anthony.
Yeah, take care. Yeah, Dan was running the board some back then.
Yeah, back nice. In the days. Yeah, that was one of my first jobs back in Auburn. The Rashawn Evans thing, I don't have a good answer, except I would expect him to surface with the team in the next 60
it
days.
It may be one of those things where, team's going, they know what he is. He doesn't have to prove anything, and we'll just wait and see. Or he may just be waiting for the best offer.
But it feels like he would be a relatively easy addition to a team, you know, if they think they're missing a linebacker, a veteran linebacker, you know, if they, you know, whether it's they need to play a lot or they just want him as insurance. I could see him. It's a little bit peculiar, but that's the NFL, right? I mean, I think Kareem Hunt, Drew, is still a free agent, right? And he's not that old. And a couple of years ago, he was one of the most impressive skill position players in the league. So it's fast how things it's remarkable how quickly things can change in the NFL.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Well, speaking of football, Brian, I mean, it's one of the things that I'll do is I'll go back. I'll go every once in a while and check and see if there are any updates on the website.
How about that?
The Auburn Tigers website. You know, we got the updated heights and weights a little while back.
We did.
And now we finally have numbers for the newcomers.
And Peyton Thorne will be number one.
Number one.
So, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see. Caleb Burton. The other guys are receivers. So the ones, Caleb Burton's going to be number 10. Shane Hooks, 11. And Jair Shorter, 14.
Yeah, so might get those confused until you start getting used to it, right? All those numbers close together, so that'll be interesting.
Well, yeah, let's see. I mean, well, Burton's not going to look – I mean, I think we'll be able to differentiate him. He's not quite as big as the other guys.
True.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing those guys.
Yeah, it's just amazing how many newcomers are on this team. You know, we just got to get used to
them. No kidding. Half the roster was not on this team in December.
And not just depth pieces. I mean, there's going to be quite a few guys in the two deep playing a lot of snaps at different positions that are veterans who came over in the portal. Could have some true freshmen mixed in as well.
Yeah, probably not a bad idea to print out a roster or have it on your phone when you go to the first game, just so you know who's out there.
Yeah, it's
going
to take me a couple of games. I mean, with 42 new faces. Yeah. By the way, locally, J.C. Hart's wearing number 20.
There you go.
So
he's listed as a cornerback, although we've been told he's going to get a look, early look at wide receiver.
I keep hearing he's a receiver. He's just been listed as a corner on the Auburn roster.
Right.
And so of course, we'll see.
Right, yeah. We'll see how it goes.
I mean, Auburn's brought in a bunch of receivers.
That's true.
You know, I keep, and this is on me just because it's easy for players to fall through the cracks. I keep forgetting about Shane Hooks and the job that right? I mean, that's a player. Mm-hmm. We talked about receiver and a couple of shows ago and went virtually through the roster from memory. Talking about this guy could break through from the newcomer. I don't know if anybody said Shane Hooks because it's
Shane easy. Hooks had the most catches of anybody that is on Auburn's roster and most catches last year of anybody.
And has played quite a bit of college football before coming to Auburn. I mean, that's a guy who could be a difference maker at receiver. He's wearing 11, by the way, from the incoming receivers that we didn't see in the spring. Burton is wearing 10. Shane Hooks is wearing 11. Is there another receiver that joined the
Shorter.
Team? And Shorter's
Shorter. 14.
14. And Shorter's wearing 14. Yeah.
So, yes, everybody's going to need a roster. So Nehemiah Pritchett is now number 1 as well on defense.
Used to be 18, yep.
Yeah.
There's one other one. I'm trying to think who it was.
Well, there are a couple of other guys that were new this spring that looked like their number. I think Justin Rogers
Justin Rogers,
97.
52.
And he's 50, 52.
Yep. That was one of the big ones.
He's one of the big ones, too.
Yes, he is a very big one, yes.
I mean, I'm with Anthony. I'm ready to see what these guys can do.
Yeah. Jeremiah Cobb, 23. It's a good number for running back at Auburn.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is.
And we're only media days is.
We're less than 10 weeks away. I think it was 70 days from this past Saturday. It's 10 weeks from this past Saturday.
Yeah, the opener is 10 weeks from this past Saturday. Media days, I think, starts
a couple of weeks.
18th, maybe
4 weeks from.
No, it's not that many weeks.
3 weeks.
Is it July 18th? Is the start? 17th.
Right? That's 3 weeks.
I think 17th through the 20th.
Yeah.
Because
next Tuesday is the 4th, so two weeks after that.
So 3 weeks from today. And I think we should start promoting this.
You're absolutely right.
Wall-to-wall coverage of SEC Media Days. I'm going up there. Jacob's going up there. So we'll have 4 hours of live SEC Media Day. And the Max Roundtable will be
You're
going to
have 7 hours.
7 hours every weekday of live on-site reporting from the from SEC Media Days. We'll have interviews. Special guests will drop by. We'll have audio from players and coaches. You're not going to want to miss. Starting on the 17th, we'll be live in Nashville, and it's all 7 hours of ESPN 106.7 programming. It's going to be sensational.
Yeah, that's great to think that it's getting that close. That really is the signal that football is about to start, and then shortly after that, it's the start of fall practice. So. And Brian, I mean, we're into a dead period now in recruiting where phone call, I guess, is the only contact.
Phone, video call,
text,
that's about it. No face-to-face, no visits for the next 4 weeks.
Does that mean no news, though, over the next four
weeks? No. In fact, there's probably going to be pretty newsy because a lot of those kids that went on those June officials are making decisions now. Khalil House, the big offensive lineman that was in Auburn for an official couple of weeks ago, he announced today that he would announce his decision on Friday.
Yeah, he was at Stanford this past weekend, right?
I believe so, yes. And I felt very strong about Auburn's chances, but he did go on another visit,
right.
So we'll see.
All right, we'll talk more about those things and more. Again, don't forget, Don Dunn. Coach Don Dunn going to be joining us at 5:15. Love for you to join in as we head into hour number two of the Monday Drive.
The sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio with Drew at the controls. So welcome in to hour number two, a fun hour number one. As we had a couple of calls and then a special guest, Jimmy Perry, joining us. We've got another special guest, former Auburn defensive line coach and just and chef, Don Dunn, going to be joining us in about 15 minutes. And we're talking with Jimmy, and one of the reasons we're talking with Don Dunn is because of the very unfortunate passing of former Auburn defensive ends coach and longtime SEC coach, Terry Price, passing away Friday at the age of 55. Mm-hmm. And Don Dunn was coached with Terry for 14 years from Ole Miss to Auburn. So we'll talk with Don here in just a few minutes. In the meantime, we're wide open. We'd love to hear from you, and you can join us on the Kia of Auburn hotline, Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and the number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show. We have breaking news that we can talk about in a second. You can also text the show.
I was going to say, are we transferring calls?
No, we have actually something we were just talking about earlier in the show. There's an update. 334-564-1840 is the Drive text box. 334-564-1840. That's presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform or go to ESPNAU.com. And the podcasts are all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Bill, we speculated that Kentucky might be the beneficiary.
They've been looking
of players from West Virginia specifically, and Trey Mitchell is one of the West Virginia players that is in the portal. He is going to Kentucky.
He was in the portal.
He was in the portal until he decided to switch over. It's just we were talking about that last week at Franklin.
The
chance of Bob Huggins' resignation having a domino effect around college basketball, and now
they hire an assistant. They are promoting one of the assistants. There had been a lot of speculation that Andy Kennedy could be in line for the West Virginia job, and maybe he will after this year.
Yeah, this won't stop that speculation. Like, I think when West Virginia hires a permanent coach, maybe some of that speculation will go away if it's not Andy Kennedy. But until then, yeah, I think people The two biggest names that feel like they would be linked to the job are John Beilein because of his connections and his success at West Virginia years ago, and then Andy Kennedy because of his ties to Bob Huggins. But yeah, that's a develop. We talked about the West Virginia coaching search too, and now there's a little bit of resolution, just a little bit though, as they promote and they put the interim tag
on the
promoted assistant coach with the expectation that they could go into a full-blown coaching search. Later this year, early next year.
And, of course, part of that was to try to keep as much of the roster intact. And now they've lost one.
Their AD was at North Texas for a while. And I know that coach maybe was just poached away by a different program as well. So there's probably another name that belongs in that conversation too. But, yeah, Andy Kennedy, the most likely of the big names to be pursued by West Virginia.
Hour number two of The Drive brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We talked about a few things in hour number one. The Southeastern Conference today releasing the conference opponents for everyone. And we took a quick look at Auburn's schedule. I mean, Auburn playing Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss. Those are the three teams they play every year home and away. This year, the fourth team they get to play home and away is Mississippi State. And so that will probably be the last year that we see that type schedule, because the following year, 24-25, Texas and Oklahoma come into the conference, and they want to stay at 18 games. So we figured that will end up being three teams home and away twice, and 12 teams, six of them at home, six of them away. So it'll still get to 18. It's easier to do that with 16 teams. You're not rotating a team in and out.
Right, and Auburn plays Alabama twice, and they'll play Ole Miss twice, and those look like teams that could be pretty good. A lot of folks like Alabama as one of the top, although Alabama having a piece of news with Quinterly.
Yeah, Javon Quinterly is heading out.
I think that's, you know, that takes
a that could be a significant loss.
That's a hit to their backcourt depth.
Yep.
And now
they are extremely deep there, but I mean, he is the most experienced by far of any of their guys there in the backcourt.
And I think it would have been easier to absorb an injury to one of the other guys if you had Javon Quinterly as an option. You take him away. And now I think it's really important for Bama's other guards to stay healthy.
Big loss, in my opinion.
I think it's a decent loss. I mean that is a I mean that's something that, I mean, maybe they have the talent to absorb it and keep rolling, but folks are still high on Alabama's chances this year, but that could be an important departure.
Yeah. So. Basketball, I mean, there's still a lot of movement going on. That's the thing. I know a couple of people have said, what's going on? I thought this transfer portal. I said, no, that was football.
This is
basketball. I mean, there's still plenty of movement.
Oh, and football players could switch too now if they're graduate transfers.
Right.
I mean, if they wanted to. But, yeah, basketball players, especially with the draft, the draft deadline closing at the beginning of this month, and then the NBA draft actually happening, now you've got you got players who feel the urgency to go ahead and make their decisions. But with Alabama and Ole Miss on the schedule twice, because that's the way Auburn's rivals are set up, you know, we were saying in the first hour, all told, Tennessee only once. And you don't know who's going to be great and who's not, but I think Tennessee...
You got a pretty good feeling Tennessee's going to be good. Arkansas is going to be good.
And A&M's been pretty good under Buzz Williams
these
last couple of years. And the fact that you only have all three of those teams once, I think, is a pretty favorable draw for Auburn. Granted, you have to go to Bud Walton, which is,
you have to go to Knoxville,
and you got to go to Knoxville. But I think it's a schedule where Auburn, it could have been, Auburn could have been dealt a much tougher draw than the one they actually have.
Oh yeah, I haven't looked at the entire league to see who drew more of the top teams.
Let's see who's got Arkansas and Tennessee twice. I'll check.
Yeah, By the way, Grant
McCasland was the coach who was successful at North Texas last couple of seasons. He just left for Texas Tech after a year. He was the North Texas coach when West Virginia's AD Ren Baker. Ren Baker was there at North Texas.
Is the West Virginia
with McCasland? So people might think that there's a possible reuniting there. West Virginia would love to poach a coach from the another team in that league.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. While we got a couple of minutes, Brian, talk about, I mean, even though recruiting is, there's no on campus or in home recruiting going on, and there aren't, you know, games involving, any competition involving Auburn athletes. It's not like there's just nothing going on.
Yeah, and I think the final college game of the 22-23 is tonight.
It's tonight,
right? Yeah.
That is right.
That's sad, kind of.
It is.
But yeah, there is plenty of recruiting going on. Kids making decisions, this week and the coming weeks and days, after most of them went on 3, 4, or 5 official visits during end of May, June. So we'll be following that closely, and also just leading up to SEC Media Days and the season and, you know, everything that goes on with that. It'll be time to start cranking out position previews and those type of things.
It's incredible to think, though, that between kickoff of the first week of college football season and the end of the College World Series, it's about 42 weeks of college athletics action, with overlapping periods where you get football and then into men's basketball and women's basketball and then into baseball and softball as the marquee sports. But it really is. I mean, from the end of August through now, You know, that's the season.
Yeah, the only time where you don't really is July, you know, because something is going on in August. You're getting practice.
Yeah.
All in August. So there's news. July is the only time that there's not big news.
Yeah. College athletics, with some work in that offseason, I mean, it's 42 weeks of covering action of one form or another, and then 10 weeks of sort of regrouping with that, and there's stuff going on during that 10-week period where you regroup, and we're about to begin that 10-week period because tonight is the last game of that 42 weeks we've had where there's been action.
And baseball and softball are still active in the portal. That their portals are sort of just getting started right. In a lot of ways. And
baseball's picked up four
yep, so far, and I think they'll take a couple more probably. Mm-hmm.
Would I be wrong to say more bad news than good news for Auburn softball in the portal as far as who's left versus
it's interesting because I think the two young ladies they picked up were really talented.
They lost prominent. They've lost some prominent players.
They lost two of their best players, right?
Yeah. Did not mean to in any way impugn the girls that are coming in. I was just saying because Bree Ellis is in.
Right.
And for Bree Ellis to leave and stay in conference, that's a tough one to watch.
334-321-1390. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Matt is up next. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. I hope I'm not bringing up a topic you guys already talked about, but I'm sure you guys saw the comments by the UAB football coach. I guess his name's Dilfer. Do you guys think that those comments were aimed at any in-state schools? I'm talking about his saying that he understands that people are going to try to take players off his football team, but he's going to call out names on people if they do it in a manner that's against the rules. You guys heard? I guess you just heard about that story.
Yeah, and that's fine.
I haven't.
Go ahead. I mean, I'm all for that. I mean, go ahead and name the names.
Yeah, I was just wondering if he had anybody, he was very vocal about it and said that poaching has been ongoing, and I guess that would be people direct messaging some of the people on other teams and on his team and saying, if you go into portal, we're interested in you. And I don't know how you police that, number one. Number two, I don't know what you would necessarily do about it. And I know there's a couple of schools that have been implicated in that in the past. Seems awfully coincidental, but he is recruiting against two pretty good schools in the state.
Yeah, the thing is, there's so many different ways you can do that, where if you call out a name and that name wasn't involved, I mean, the way it can be done that there's really nothing that can be done about is a lot of players, know each other. They've either went to school or they competed against guys. They've been friends. They've been to camps, things like that. They've known each other. And there is nothing to keep players from being in touch with other players on social media or whatever and just going, hey, man, it's great here. If you ever think about it, come on down. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the coach has told him. Of course, it doesn't mean the coach hasn't either. But, I mean, it's a very dangerous thing. Before you call out somebody's name, you had better be sure that that name is involved, or you could be looking at some legal action.
And I totally understand frustration, especially from Group of Five programs that think they're being targeted and schools are breaking rules in trying to lure their players away. At the same time, this does just feel like re-recruiting your roster every day, like keeping tabs on your players' happiness level, satisfaction level every day feels like it's part of the job more than ever before. Because players, before you had the threat of, well, if you leave, you have to sit out a year. And are you sure you want to do something that drastic because you're unhappy right now? When you take that away and you give immediate eligibility to transfers, it's less drastic and maybe in some cases more tempting. And that's something that I understand coaches have to be. It's got to be frustrating at times to feel like you're not only having to recruit your future players, but constantly re-recruit your current players.
It's probably really frustrating when you hit it with a guy, right, that nobody else wanted, and he comes to your school and turns out to be a star player, and then a year or two later he's off to the Power Five. But the way it's set up now with the NIL and everything, I just feel like in many ways, Group of Five schools are becoming like the minor leagues in a lot of ways. And if you look at the SEC and Big Ten, some of the other Power Five conferences are in some ways, some of those schools are sort of the minor leagues for those bigger schools. So when they have a really good player and you have these really good schools with a lot of backing, a lot of money, it's almost impossible to hold on to them. You know, yeah. I mean, I just don't know.
I understand his frustration. I mean, you're right. I just said, you got to be careful. You better know. All right, we need to get to our first break of hour number two. Don Dunn joins us on the other side. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
Hey, I'm Caroline Bush from Bush Landscape.
And AU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. And we're very pleased to be joined by Coach Don Dunn. Well, he's now, I guess, the barbecue boss, Don Dunn. I mean, he's still doing his thing early every morning for Country's Barbecue and for everyone who enjoys the delicious Country's Barbecue. But yeah, I thought immediately of Don when we heard the news about Terry Price this past Friday. Don, first, thank you so much for spending a little time with us here on the drive. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Yeah, well, you and Terry were together for what, 14 years?
Yes, sir. 14 years of starting at Ole Miss, and then of course here at Auburn. And a lot of people don't know it. He came out to Texas Tech with us for I want to say less than a month, and then he got the call to go back to his alma mater. So yeah, 14 years side by side. Roomed together in the old days at Ole Miss, you know, we roomed together on the road. So he was, like Jimmy Perry said, a real prankster, man. He would put pizza in my bed. He would put shaving cream on the phone. He would change our cell phones. He always gave people nicknames, all his players, the coaches, and just a wonderful person, man. A lot of fun.
Man, he was just getting started there at Ole Miss. I mean, a young coach, young up-and-coming coach.
Yeah, he was very young. I think he GA'd with, I think Coach Cheryl, maybe Slocum, RC, and then, you know, Coach Tuberville was on that staff, so that was his connection. Then he went to Western Kentucky with the Harbaugh's father, and he was there for 1 year. Then we all came together at Ole Miss. But, you know, just what a great person. Great coach, great father, husband, heck of a recruiter. You know, he recruited Cadillac Williams, so that's a pretty good deal to have on your resume. And, you know, great, great kids he coached, like, just sitting here thinking, Quentin Groves and Reggie Torbor and, you know, Stanley McGlover, and the list goes on. And really, really good recruiter.
Yeah, he had such a good personality. I knew he had a sharp wit. I didn't realize he was the prankster until you and Jimmy started telling about some of these stories.
I could tell you some. He put all our phones in French one time when we first got our cell phones. We didn't know. I still don't know how to use a cell phone. I have to get my son, call him in Minnesota to tell me what I'm doing wrong. But he was just a character, and I can't help but smile when I'm, you know, I'm so sad and upset, but golly, just all the great times. And we won a lot of football games, and he did it the right way. You know, he worked them hard, but he loved these players. And again, I can't tell you how good a recruiter he was. And, you know, he had a lot of the Alabama area.
Mm-hmm.
And, just a great guy to work with and a good, good person.
All right, so was he already as accomplished at barbecuing before he met you guys?
Well, let me tell you a quick story. We had a barbecue team at Ole Miss called the Pigskins. Terry and I hated golf, terrible golfers. Everybody else on the staff liked golf. Maybe Hugh Nall didn't like it much, or Andy Lunch. But we would rather cook, so we just started messing around. We had little bitty old grills and stuff. So we went up and competed in Memphis in May 2 years in a row.
Oh, yeah, that's big time.
And we won the barbecue sauce the first year. It had to be fixed. It had to be an Ole Miss guy in there somewhere. But we got big trophies, and that's when we really started. And he took it to another level. He had green eggs and all kinds of smokers out there at Texas A&M, and he used to send me clips and videos and all kinds of stuff. And then a guy called me about a year and a half ago from their paper, their beat writer, and did a big article on Terry, and they interviewed me, and it was really good. I have to get you a copy of it. It's quite an article.
Oh, yeah, that's something. I mean, I knew you guys took it seriously, though. I didn't realize you'd won up there in Memphis, so that is a big deal.
Yeah, we won the sauce, and I couldn't tell you the recipe if you held a gun to my head. We didn't have a clue what we were doing.
Red or white?
And it was red. It was
there you go.
It was a vinegar-based, so like the North Carolina style, I guess. I don't know. We just threw a bunch of stuff together, and we all stuck our finger in it for luck, and we won. So I think it was fixed. I really do. It had to be.
Nah.
Don't sell yourself short, Coach. I'm sure you won that thing fair and square.
Well, I appreciate that, Dan. You're a good man to say that, buddy.
Well, look, if he wasn't as good at what he does, they would, they'd find a way to lock him out at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're telling me you still do that daily, huh?
Yeah, I go in tonight. I'll get there no later than 1:30, and usually, if I'm lucky, I'll have a little fire still in the pit or in the new smoker. Larry's got a brand new big smoker. He's got two of them now out back, and I don't know if you know. I think we're pretty close to building the new countries right next door.
Oh, is that right? Wow, that's great. I mean, of course, we're right behind it, and we walk out the step out the door, and I can smell it. It's like, man.
Well, if you guys ever go in early or stay late, I'm always in there about 1:30 in the morning. I go in, and whatever we need for the day, put it on and keep the fire going. It's not a lot of hard work. Of course, it is during football season. I'm there all night long. You know, I go in like at 6 in the afternoon on Friday nights, especially home games.
Wow.
But I enjoy it. It gives me something to do. I couldn't just sit at the house all day.
And you know what, Coach? That is for folks that, that are, maybe they're not huge into barbecue. Like that, it matters, right? The extra effort and the extra time, like it comes through in the finished product. And
you can't rush greatness. No.
No. No, I tell you, it's fun. It's fun. It gives me something to do, like I said. But back to Terry, man. What a great man. And we're going to go out for the celebration. It's July the 8th, a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And Don and I are going to go out, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people. It's going to be a sad time, but it'll be a fun time to get together and tell stories and just reflect on all of the good things he did. Just so young, 55, my gosh.
Oh, you're not kidding. I mean, that's just terrible to see something like that. You guys, I mean, that group – you guys were tight, and I mean, quite the group. I mean, it's very unusual to see a group of coaches stay together as much as you guys did over that length of period.
Yeah, very fortunate. I don't know if it'll ever be done again to stay at one school for 10 years. Almost the only person, I think, Joe Panunzio, took a head job at Murray State out of that first group that came from Ole Miss. And, we just loved it, and that's why I'm still here in Auburn. Love living here and the people and just a great run. But that's kind of unheard of. You're right, and we all got along good. We were all pretty young when we first got there, and we weren't very good at Ole Miss, and we had to fight our butts off, and we were fortunate enough to, stay a while. So it was a lot of fun.
Coach, on Friday, I was really new to – covering a football team or whatever it is I was doing when I was a student here in the Tuberville days, but I was Terry's respect for people asking him questions, the thoughtfulness he would give in interviews, it really stood out to me as kind of the way it should be done. And as you said, 55's young, but he impacted so many lives in just 55 years across. I mean, to see what he meant to the Texas A&M people, Like, I guess I knew a little bit of that because I knew he was coaching at his alma mater, and they'd right. had some good times when he was a player. But
he was a heck of a player.
I mean, he was a legend there. I mean, mm-hmm. to read the tributes from A&M yep. on top of everything he did as a coach. I mean, he was an absolute legend of those people.
You know, he had knee trouble, and that's what mm-hmm. That's why he had to get out of the pros. But he could run. He was strong and smart. But you're right. He was just a good person to everybody. And what you saw is what you got. He was raised well. You know, I love his mom and dad, and just a good kid, and never in any trouble. And I don't know anybody that can say a bad word about him. That's pretty darn good if you can go through life without that. I don't know if I'll have that, but no fun done, you know.
Don.
Brian knows that name. Hey, yeah. Brian, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. It's such a pleasure to hear you on the show. And I was. Are there any maybe stories from practice or maybe some coaches meetings or something you can share?
You know, we kind of were the good cop, bad cop. We would meet a lot together because, you know, a lot of schools only have one D-line coach.
Right.
You know, you coach on, depending on your front, of course. But we would meet at least the last 15 minutes to go over signals and make sure we had everything. And we'd go walking outside and Terry'd say, good cop today. I said, okay, I'll be the bad cop. So that was, we got after him pretty good. I don't know if we'd have anybody playing for us now with this portal crap. But he was just a great guy and very serious about his job and wanted to be the best at what he did. And but I'll have to. There's probably so many stories. Just all these pranks he pulled on me alone, and just crazy stuff.
Coach, go ahead. I remember it was either before the 07 or the 08 season, and I won't say the player in question, but. Somebody, I think it was towards the end of a practice, you were doing ones against ones with the quarterback in a special jersey, no contact.
Right.
And a defensive end coming around the edge made contact with the quarterback as he was finishing starting quarter. It was Brandon, on his follow through.
Oh yeah.
And Brandon's forearm or wrist banged right into the
helmet.
The helmet right. of the defensive player.
Yep.
And I thought Terry Price was going to erupt like a volcano in the moment. And you saw the tender caring moments too. But the disciplinarian, the defensive lineman could come out on occasion.
We didn't cut him any slack, and you never supposed to hit the quarterback. But well, we had some battles. If you remember the one-on-one pass rushes.
Oh yes.
And Terry would scream, sack, it's as loud as he could. And Coach Nall would get so mad. We had to break him up a couple times, especially in the bubble. But he was a character, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're talking to one right now, and that's Don Dunn. Don, I really appreciate you spending a little time. I know it's really tough to lose somebody like this, especially someone as young and vibrant as Terry was, but really appreciate you spending a little time and some great memories there. And don't be a stranger. We need to get you on a more regular basis.
Okay, I'd love to. And Bill, Dan, Brian, thank you. And like I said, just a great person. And let's keep him in our prayers and in his family.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Don.
Be well, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
Coach
thank
Don you. Dunn. Yes, absolutely. Coach Don Dunn joining us here on the Monday Drive. And yeah, I mean, he's right here. We need to stay in touch.
He's on the other side of the fence.
I know. He's like station. Right around. Yeah, he can throw one of these stones and hit the back of it.
And I can't tell you how many hours I spent in the 2000s down there watching the D line because it was Terry.
It was great to watch. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, they were a great coach. They were coaching. They were letting those guys know, though. Yep. I mean, he's right. They didn't cut him any slack, but they loved their guys, too, and their guys loved them.
They did.
And he was gracious enough with his time. I'll throw in another plug for Countries. You know, they're doing good work there. And if you're looking for some barbecue in town, that's a place I can recommend. And yeah, we just had the pit master himself. Former Auburn defensive line coach Don Dunn on the show.
Need to get to our bottom of the hour break. John, hold on. You're up when we come back for the final half hour of the Monday Drive.
Be a part of The Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final 20 minutes or so here on this Monday edition of The Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from auburnsports.com. And let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I really enjoyed hearing Coach Dunn. I would encourage you guys to consider having him on some during football season.
Yes, no doubt. I need to be knocked in the head every once in a while and reminded of that.
Yeah. I was actually a student assistant in media relations over with Kirk Sampson and that crew, Meredith Jenkins, back in the day when I was a student. And I was down there between the transition from Bowden into that staff. And the staff Tuberville put together down there was just a great, great bunch of guys, and Coach Price was included in that. Yep. So really hate to hear about Coach Price. That's just a great group of guys. But one question off the radar, it had been on my mind to ask you guys. Now that the football complex has been built, what's the plan for Beardy's Memorial Coliseum? As I'm guessing they can ship people over from, to the athletic complex now from Beardy's. So I'm just curious about that. That's all I got, guys.
Appreciate it, John.
Actually, I think most of the people are staying in Beardy's for now. The geology department's still there. I don't think Auburn Network is moving.
Yes, some of the things that are there can't move into the former athletic complex. There's some classrooms too.
We've talked about. I mean, the master plan that the most recent master plan from the university, as far as like what they're planning on doing moving forward, has a plan for the space currently occupied by Beard Eve's Coliseum.
I wasn't aware of this.
But that doesn't have a date listed either, sort of. Yeah. Right. So one would think that the university plans on knocking it down someday. Most basketball gyms, although I've said that before, and I think there are several examples of you repurpose the building and keep it on campus. Kentucky's building still exists pre-Rupp. I believe the Tad Pad is still standing at Ole Miss.
Even Alabama, with everything they want to do with Coleman, their old basketball arena is still around.
Right, and it would be a pretty significant venture for Auburn to knock down a building that size. And yes. I imagine it would be
very expensive. Possible asbestos makes it even more expensive.
I was more worried about the asbestos before the university knocked down that entire side of campus with the dorms, because those things had to be loaded with the same stuff that you're worried about.
And probably about the same time. I mean, the arena was just opened in 69.
Weren't those dorms built in the 80s?
No.
In the 80s?
That was before the 80s. Before the 80s.
I know my wife was in one
before
of them.
The 80s. They were there. Okay. They were being built in the early 70s.
Okay. All right. but I would say Beard Eves is still being used a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of the campers in the summer, the cheerleaders use it.
Wheelchair
basketball.
They have
basketball. A lot of science. Wheelchair basketball.
Competitions and things like that.
Schools from all over.
Robotics.
Robotics is in there, yep.
You know, Chris Beard threw out there, speaking of the Tad Pad, we've talked about this on the show. Chris Beard threw out there that he wants, if Ole Miss is going to keep the old basketball gym going, they should once or twice a year have a throwback game in that gym. I don't know what the limitations would be for Auburn to play a game in Beard Eves Coliseum.
It'd be sort of cool to do it when you could sell an extra 5,000 tickets.
I think it'd be really cool.
I'm not sure about the roof and the lighting. That might be an issue there. I don't know. The tiles falling down. But
yeah. You're having wheelchair basketball in there. Yeah. It better be sorted out.
But it would be fun to go back there once a year or something. Yeah. Or maybe even just an exhibition game.
I think it could be, or do the thing they used to do downtown, right? The open practice,
Midnight Madness or whatever. Madness
there. Yeah. I don't know. I think there's some things where if you're not going to knock it down, I think there could be ways to utilize it more than they currently do.
I don't disagree at all. Sort of like your idea, which I like, of every major league team playing in a minor league park.
Have a weekend where you go to the Double A park or something, or the Triple A park. I think that'd be a neat thing to field trip games. That game next year in Birmingham.
Oh, I think that's great. Rickwood
is going to be so cool. I believe that's going to be the same night as the NBA draft and something else going on.
It's like July 20th.
It's a busy time in. Maybe not the NBA draft then.
June 20th. Yeah, July. June 20th.
For some reason, I remember reading it's the same night as the NBA draft next year. But there's other stuff going on too. But that's gonna be so cool in Birmingham.
Oh yeah, yeah. This year they Well, it's same two teams. No, it's the Giants and the Cardinals next year. It was the Cubs and Cardinals in London. What'd you think of that, Drew? What'd you think of the games being played in London?
Oh, Saturday one better.
Oh, yeah, well. What kind of crowds did they have?
I did not see much of the London games.
I did not see any of it
this weekend. It's an odd place to play some regular season
baseball. It is. I mean, are you going to pick up a lot? I mean,
growing the game, right? You just got to, you know, hope that, you know, Europeans have access to streaming services too, Bill. I mean, that's the hope, right? Is that you make them?
Yeah. What do you hope? You get a lot of cricket fans and convert them.
Well,
I mean,
we're sitting next to an American who follows European soccer.
That's true.
I mean, why couldn't there be Europeans who follow American baseball? I mean, and you know what? You
never know where you're going to find the next great player.
Here's the other thing: gambling apps are so huge in parts of the European Union, the UK. I mean, if you ever watch like a sporting event broadcast from over there, all the commercials are for different gambling related apps and things like that. Sports gambling is so big in the European Union. So I could imagine why the belief is you make some people into NFL fans or Major League Baseball fans over there. Not only is there some revenue in it for you, but they might actually be they might be open to something that presents some new action. Like, I think that's I don't know what the strategy is there besides just trying to build the audience, but it's a little bit jarring to see Major League Baseball being played in jolly old England.
Well, I'd forgotten about it until I checked my phone at like 11 o'clock on Saturday morning and the game was halfway done. It's like, wait, what game started? Oh, that's right. They're playing in London.
I mentioned soccer. Brian, are you going to be interested when Messi comes to America and plays for the MLS?
To be honest, no.
Okay.
But I think it is interesting, but I'm not going to go buy a ticket to go watch it.
I mean, he's one of the more famous. He is. I mean, I'm trying to think of the active soccer players in the world. He's maybe, Cristiano Ronaldo's right there. He's right there. I mean, there's a top tier. Messi's on it. And he's going to be playing for, I think it's David Beckham's team in Miami that landed Messi. And that's later this summer. He'll make his debut for the MLS. I remember when Beckham came to the MLS and people thought, oh, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be the thing that you know, turns the MLS into one of the two or three biggest professional leagues in America. It's not really how it worked out that way, although it has grown steadily. I mean, there's twice as many teams as there were, you know, the decade and a half ago. You know, the league has grown, and you have a star like Messi coming in, which I think could be huge in the market, in the region.
Yeah. I mean, he may be the most popular athlete in the entire world.
And to be playing in Miami, which is one of, I'd say, with Los Angeles and New York, you know, one of these cities where it is a hub of not just Argentinians or Cubans or Brazilians, but so much South American, Latin American culture.
Oh, it'll be huge.
I think Messi could be, it could be a really big thing it's probably, I think it's the largest city as far as Argentinians living in the United States.
That's interesting.
You know, Miami is one, which would also indicate that's a possible reason why Messi chose to go play in a market where there's a big Argentinian influence on the region.
And I was excited to see him win the World Cup, it was the World Cup, but my favorite memory of Messi was a few years ago when Liverpool beat Barcelona 4-0. At home without Mo Salah to advance in the Champions League. I think they're down, I think, 3-0. And then they went on to win it. So that's my favorite.
There was a pretty significant story. I don't know if I totally understand it. So there's going to be a Club World Cup, and they're doing it in America?
Yeah, there's been a Club World Cup for several years. Liverpool won it, I think, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and it is coming to America. It's just one of these things that FIFA is doing, I think, now, and the others, they're just adding more and more games to these professional players, and it's making it really tough on them. They're adding more, it used to be just the World Cup and the Euro Cup, and now they're doing stuff the other 2 years too, and now they've added the Club World Cup.
Second half of this decade, you get America hosting the World Cup, America hosting the Club World Cup, and Los Angeles has the 2028 Summer Olympics. So I mean, there could be some pretty incredible soccer matches. Yeah, huge events taking place on American soil over the next few years.
We need to get to our final break of the afternoon. Back with more of your calls, Jerry, Tex. You're up when we come back to wind things down here on the Monday Drive.
It's Ben from the Abbey Award-winning Auburn Opelika this morning on
com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive, final segment here on this Monday, and let's get right back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Jerry is up first. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I just want to talk a little Braves.
Oh, yeah.
Man, what a series.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Maddie. That felt like postseason, didn't it?
It did. And it's amazing. They played six games, and every game is a one-run game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Braves have won five of them. But, you know, and Matt Olson.
Yeah, he's pretty hot right now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's pretty hot. Four homers in three games and leading
the majors
major
now,
league
right?
baseball. Yeah. Yeah, and I think RBIs and home runs, but it was exciting baseball.
Oh yeah, no kidding.
The Braves are playing great. To me, the story in baseball is how well the Diamondbacks are playing, because the Braves were expected to be the best or one of the two best teams in the National League. Maybe not expected to be 15-27.
You've got some surprises. I mean, yeah, the D-backs, the Reds are definitely a surprise.
The Reds being in first place, you know, coming into although that's a division where the difference between first place and last place is often just a handful of games.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the Braves are, I think, as expected. What's been surprising is that the Braves have been able to absorb some injuries, some less than stellar performances early on, you know, and still be where they are. Like that bodes well for their future. But yeah, I mean, the fact that the Braves are sitting, you know, we're about to be in July, and the Braves are going into the month with the best record in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't terribly surprising versus where they were.
But considering they don't have some of the guys in the rotation.
That's what's been
amazing
to absorb losses to Freed and
Wright.
Kyle Wright. Who knows what's up with Mike Soroka?
Yep. Soroka nearly pitched a no-hitter in the minors the other day.
Wow.
Yeah, he's coming back. Or at least he'll be back.
Their lineup 1-9, their new weak spot.
Yeah, and so many people were like, just anybody but Orlando Arcia. He has been great. He has been great.
Really has.
Yeah.
He's leading the vote getter at shortstop.
Well, I mean, he's hit over 300 all year long.
Yeah.
And playing an outstanding shortstop.
He has. He's been great. I think you're probably pretty happy with De La Cruz. Pick up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's. I appreciate having him on my fantasy roster. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's got a chance to be okay.
Do you think they make
I think he's going to be pretty good.
A move for a bullpen piece here? Later?
Braves, yes.
That's the one thing maybe they're missing.
Iglesias he's been scary at times. Mm-hmm. I think they need a steadying influence there. There's some guys out there.
All right, guys.
Appreciate it, Jerry.
Speaking of baseball, was the Tampa Bay Rays expected to be this good this year? I don't follow it as closely.
They were expected to be good, maybe not as good. Got off to an unbelievable start, too. I mean, the AL East, everybody expected to be pretty good. But the Rays have just been outstanding.
Yeah, and the Yankee fans aren't very happy right now.
No, they're not. They're gonna make some changes.
That's a tough division though too, because you're looking at the Red Sox in last place over 500.
How's that?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no 22 win team in the AL East or no Kansas City Royal or Oakland A type team, and it's gotta be frustrating. I do wonder if Aaron Boone is starting to, you know what I mean, Bill? Like, I wonder if the focus moves to.
Yeah, it will.
Although a guy who's feeling the heat right now in New York is Donaldson. I mean, Josh Donaldson having a struggling this season.
It's a shame.
They're saying he's going to get one more shot.
Yeah, and I mean the Yankees are not a team that can afford to be patient, even with a veteran like that. And I wonder if I wonder if Donaldson's on a new team before the end of the season.
You know, I think he's 37 now. So he's probably getting close to the.
Yeah, and that's not the easiest place to age gracefully.
Yep.
It's hard to age gracefully there at that place.
If the end of Josh Donaldson's career is near, what a run he's had in Major League Baseball. I mean, just a sensational one of the – I mean, how many Auburn players ever had better Major League Baseball careers than Josh Donaldson?
Frank Thomas.
That's about it. That's about it.
Huddy.
Yeah, I mean,
Hudson's there. Yeah. It's different pitcher versus hitter, but you're right. I mean, maybe Frank Thomas is the only player in program history to have a better major league career than Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, definitely as a hitter.
Donaldson's been outstanding. He's a great person off the field, too. It's wonderful to be able to cover him at Auburn, his career here, and give him back to the program. You got the Josh Donaldson hitting lab over there now, so yes.
All right, we are out of time. Our thanks, sincere thanks to Jimmy Perry and Don Dunn for joining us on the show today. Dan, I'm sure the show will be in good hands for the rest of the week. Brian going to make a return trip visit on Friday, since we don't have a show next Monday. So I'll be back on the air next Wednesday. That's going to do it. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, well, gone to the beach for the rest of the week. Right. And then we're off Monday, and then Tuesday's a forest.
Perfect.
All right. That's going to do it for the Monday edition of The Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.